But we're going to take a little pause for the cause. Your true nature is fearless. Your true nature is fearless. Your true nature is fearless. Your real self is in constant joy. Your real self is in constant joy. Surrounded in everlasting peace. Undisturbed, unwearied, feel safe. Your real self has no needs. Your real self feels loved. And we want to get in touch with the real self. To get in touch with the real self, you have to learn the characteristics of the unreal self. The unreal self is afraid, angry, worried. The unreal self sees lack, guilt, attack. The unreal self sees specialness, joys and pleasures that don't last, temporary happiness based on scripts being fulfilled, pleasure that only comes through the senses only. The unreal self has no idea of what's really going on, is obsessed with the past and worried about the future. The unreal self thinks it's a body in a world full of a lot of other bodies. The real self knows it lasts forever and can never be harmed. Your real self knows it can never be alone and that it can make no mistakes that could not be corrected. Your real self knows that it was created by something greater than itself that's even more loving and that's always with it at all times. Your real self knows that right now, the present is the point of power. The present is the point of power. Your present is the point of power. My present is my 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 point of power. Means right now is my point of power. Right now is my point of power. Now is my point of power. Now is my point of power. Right now. Okay, we're going to be on page 96. We're continuing with chapter 6, The Lessons of Love, the alternative to projection, which means the alternative to being PO'd. I want to give you translations as we go. It'll make it a little bit more relevant. Don't you think?
Yeah.
So, I guarantee you, the Earl Purdy translation will bring it home. You'll get all this spiritual stuff.
Here.
Yeah, it's like I've studied this book for 25 years. Believe me, I might have a few things I can help you out with. Okay? Just might be able to. And the first thing I know that New Course in Miracles students do is they make it much harder than it is. That's the first rule of thumb. And you can tell when you're making it harder than it is, because you will be analyzing it to death and totally disoriented and confused while you're studying it. Anybody experience that?
Yeah.
While they studied it? Okay. I'm going to start with paragraph 3. I already covered the first two in another class. Projection will always hurt you. Projection reinforces your belief in your own split mind, and the only purpose of projection is to keep the separation going. Projection is solely a device of your ego to make you feel different from your brothers and separated from them. Your ego justifies your feeling different from your brothers and separating from your brothers on the grounds that it makes you seem better than they are. And making you feel like you're better than them has your equality with everybody else still further. Projection and attack are inevitably related. That means that projection is just a means of justifying attack. So in order to justify attack, you need to project something on the person to justify attack. So attack and projection are related. Anger without projection is impossible. You cannot get angry unless you are projecting. You are projecting if you are angry. The ego, which is the separated, fearful mind, the ego uses projection. The fearful person uses projection. The fearful mind uses projection only to destroy. You use projection only to destroy your perception of both yourself and somebody else. The process of destroying your perception. I like that. The process of destroying your perception. That's powerful. The process begins by excluding something that really exists in you, but you don't want to admit it. And so what you do is it leads directly to excluding you from everybody else, because you think everybody else is different from you and they got a quality that you don't have. So that paragraph really describes the whole separation process, but I'd like to use somebody so to make it real. So a lot of times what I'll do is use somebody to make it real. For instance, if I project on you, it's going to hurt me. Because when I project on you, it's going to reinforce the idea that there's a my mind and a your mind, so there's a split mind. So I'm projecting on you, so you're certainly not me. All right, so that means by projecting on you to make you different from me, I'm trying to keep our separation going. I'm trying to keep our difference going. How I do that? Well, I project on you that you have qualities that I don't have, so that it can look like it's a me and it's a you. So in order for us to be separate, we got to make sure we all think we're different from each other. Everybody with me?
Okay.
If I lose you, let me know, because it's so simple I can lose you.
Right.
It is. It's so simple I can totally lose you. And that's nothing to be ashamed of, because you're moving into a more peaceful, quiet, simpler part of your mind. That's where the rest is located. That's where the peace is located. Okay? It's beneath that level that complicates everything. Yes, it'll be up there when you want to go back. I promise. It'll be up there. It'll be up there at 2 o'clock. You better just get it, like you get your coat and go put that mind back on and go on back out the door. You know what I'm saying? But when people come in, it's like for a minute they take their regular mind and they put it on the hanger.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sit here and they listen to ideas, and then other time they would think it's crazy. And they hear it and it makes sense. And then they get up and then they get ready to go back into the real world. And so they put back on the same mind that they've used to cope with the world that mind made. See, that's what you did. All right?
So I'm going to keep on going. Okay, so he says, so really, I'm only trying to stay separate between me and him, right? So really, me projected on him is just a device of my own fearful mind to make me feel like I'm different from him. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel like I'm separate from him, right? And my fearful mind, the ego, justifies me projecting on him, being afraid of him, and being separate from him on the grounds that, you know what, I'm better than him. You know, he needs to be more like me. See, I projected on him. Why? To keep him separate from me. Why? So that I can tell myself I'm better than him, because I'm an insecure being. And when you're an insecure being, the only way you can feel good about yourself is either to always put somebody else down in some way so that you'll seem like they're better than they, that you're better than they are, or you'll make it seem like they're greater than you are so that you'll still be special, but you'll still be different. So a fearful mind, a mind that doesn't have integrity, doesn't really know what love is, tries to feel special by criticizing and judging everything and everybody around it, and none of it lives up to its expectations, because it's just too good for this world. I said, that's what I saw in that paragraph. Did I know y'all saw that too, didn't you? Okay, just follow along with me. See, I'm not making it up. It's right there on the page. I promise you, like I'm going to say a sentence is right there on the page. You'll probably hear it, and you go, damn, I hear it. But when I looked at it, I didn't hear it. You know why? Because we are doing it together.
Yeah.
And the Course in Miracles is about the miracle of joining. It was talking, I was reading it this morning, and it was saying to me that, you know, even though there are no needs in terms of who you really are, you made a disillusion of yourself that you think you are, that you think it has all these needs that you're trying to take care of all the time. So the beauty of trying to meet somebody else's needs is just for a second, even though it's a total illusion that you can meet somebody else's needs really. But the part of it that's really, really cool is just by wanting to meet somebody's need, even if it's with a temporary satisfaction like a meal when they're hungry, is just for an instant you're telling their brother or sister, you know, you're not alone. And there's somebody that, you know, you're not alone. You're reinforcing the idea that you are not alone. That's the beauty of it. I thought that was one of the most simple, most profound, beautiful statements I've ever heard. You know. I always think about, before I call something illusion and therefore not try to be helpful in it, I always try to ask myself, would I want somebody to call it an illusion if I was going through it? You know how quick when you learn in the course, you're quick to start calling everything an illusion. It's an illusion. It ain't real. You know, the people might be in a hurricane, but they might not have a house, but it's just an illusion. You might have caught yourself saying that since you've been in the truth. And all you have to do is ask yourself, okay, that's cool. You can take that attitude, but if your house was blew away and you were injured and you were in an attic and you wanted somebody to come pick you up, would you want the helicopter to fly over and go, it's just an illusion. Don't worry about it. I bet there's not a person in this room that will say yes. So just remember that the next time you're trying to make somebody else's stuff so unreal. Not for fear. I'm not saying it for fear, but I just realized I'm in this world. I'm in this world right now. I might not be where I came from, but this is where I am right now. And in this world that I'm in right now, I want some people in this world that I'm in right now to care about me. And I would love them to help me when I really needed help, whether they're illusions or not. If I'm hungry, give me that illusion of a Big Mac if that's what I eat, or two tofu, depending on which mood I'm in that week. If, you know, I'm a vegetarian one week, and the next week I'm a meatitarian. And what I try to do in both situations is don't feel guilty about either one of them. Because it's the feeling guilty that will give me the indigestion, not what I'm eating. Because I've seen people who eat nothing but vegetables, who are in the worst health you've ever seen. And I've seen people who eat nothing but meat that's in the worst health I've ever seen. And I've seen people who don't do it, you know, who eat nothing but vegetables and in great shape. And I've seen people who eat meat and who are in great shape. I haven't seen any difference in either one of them. I could always point to an example of what the opposite of what anything you could point out. That's the way it is in this world. You got the Course is saying this is the world of duality. That's going to always be the other side to anything that you see. So that, but that's the good news. That means whatever you're going through right now that you don't like or doesn't feel peaceful or doesn't make you feel good, that means you know there's another side.
Yeah.
Because this is the world of duality. Which means there's got to, for every bit of lack you think you have, there's got to be an equal amount of abundance or more. Because this is a world of duality. If you feel lonely, then you've got to have a bunch of friends that you're refusing to meet that are still available to you whenever you're ready for them. Mm-hmm. If you've chosen sickness, then there must be health out there for you because this is a world of duality. I like that.
Well, yeah.
I like that.
It really is cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so cool. Okay, so then it goes on a little bit further. It says projection and attack are inevitably related. He says, because how is it related? Well, I've got to project on my brother to attack him. I've got to go, you know, you did something that really upset me. That's the projection. Then that justifies me attacking him. You came in this room and you didn't speak to me. See, I came in the room, Earl was acting kind of funny. He didn't say nothing to me today. He's something must be wrong. Okay. So that justifies me feeling upset, a little separate from Earl because he didn't say anything. The truth is, Earl is trying to pull together everything he got to do within 5 minutes before the class starts. And it really has nothing to do with you at all. You see what I'm saying? But we do it, you know what I'm saying? Let me use this as an example. That what you do is you project on a person, and then you use that projection to justify your anger of separation. But since it's your projection, it might not have nothing to do with the truth of the situation at all. So projection and attacking somebody and getting mad and projecting, he says they are always related. That you cannot get angry before telling yourself something to make you angry. You can never feel angry before you told yourself something that justified the anger, but you did it so fast, it looks like you had no control and you just responded without even being able to help yourself. You know, those instant reactions are nothing but decisions that are made so fast that you don't even remember making them because you made the decision so many times, you don't even have to remember the process no more. Mm-hmm. And we call that our triggers.
Mm-hmm. I got a trigger yesterday, real quick. My friend in Kansas, I called and I said, "Hi, Pat. You know, I got to thinking, you never call me. I'm always calling you."
Oh, yeah, don't you like that one?
And she said, "I've been in the hospital since the 1st of September."
Which you would have found out if you called her.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, which is deep.
So,
it is. I know.
Like, oh, shit, I totally forgive you.
Well, I'm telling you, yeah, for what in reality, you're forgiving her for what she did not do.
Yeah.
And the Course in Miracles says that's what you're always forgiving people for. You are always forgiving people for what they did not do.
Yeah.
And I look at that two ways. Now, one way of looking at it is that I'm forgiving somebody for something and they really didn't do it to me.
Yeah.
Or the other way you can look at that is I'm forgiving you for what you did not. You did not treat me right. You did not treat me honestly. You did not treat me honestly. You did not keep your agreements. I'm still forgiving you for what you did not do.
Yeah.
So either way you look at it, you forgive somebody for what they didn't do. I'm having to forgive you for what you didn't do that I'm upset with you about doing, Or I'm forgiving you because I know you really didn't do it to me because I'm a creator and everything that happens to me at some level, I'm the one that attracts it and creates it. So therefore, I still don't have anything to forgive you for. Now, if you want to hold a grievance, none of this I'm saying will make sense. If you need a justification for your separation, then you're going to think of every reason in the world why that's not true. That's why before the Course, the Course doesn't work for people who don't want to forgive. It'll make anybody who doesn't want to forgive mad. They'll hate every inch of the book. If you want to justify separation and anger, this class is not going to make you feel better. I guarantee you. It's for people who want to forgive. It's for people who want to let go of their anger, let go of their grievance, let go of it, not defend how justified they are in their anger. Because you got the whole world to support that. You got lots of support. If you just want to blame everybody else for what you're going through, you got so much company, you ought to always feel like you're not alone. It's so many people that agree with you about being a victim. You know, that was the advantage of when I used to think I was. I got so much more agreement. But this taking responsibility for your own experience stuff? Woo! That's different. Yeah. Yeah, brother.
Yeah. Were you forgiving yourself for being wrong? Is that kind of a...
What were you doing? What were you forgiving?
Yeah.
When you said I forgive.
Probably myself, for even thinking that she should have called. Mm-hmm. You know, and here she is laying dying in the hospital.
And suppose she had been feeling great. Mm-hmm. Some of you have called her and she was just feeling great, but she hadn't called you. Hmm. Did you forgive her then?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
See, she gave you justification for forgiveness. She gave you the opportunity to do something that you really wanted to do anyway, but she needs to give you a reason to do it. She gave you a reason.
Yeah.
To get off your separation, because you didn't want to be separate.
Huh.
Now, if you had wanted to be separate, you still would have found some way to still feel separate from her, even though she said she was in the bed. Mm-hmm. But just the last 6 months, you still would go, your channel got somebody else to call me and tell me that you were sick. You know, just as like, if a person wants to be separate,
yeah,
there's nothing you can do to join with them. Anything you do, they're going to use it as justification. Like you say, it's for separation. Mm-hmm. People decide whether they want to join with you and whether they want to love you. And then they come up with justifications for their desire to love you. That's why first impressions are so powerful. Because it kind of like sets in your mind the way you want to feel about this person. And then after that, you just keep on reinforcing that idea. And even if you do something that doesn't meet that first impression, you have more tendency to overlook it because you want to keep that first impression. So I always ask people who have disagreements with me, the first thing I ask them is, do you want to join or do you want to separate? Let's get that straight so we won't spend a whole afternoon trying to do this for nothing. Okay? If you want to stay separate from me, and you know you want to stay separate from me, then let's not go through this process, and please. Let's give each other a break. But if you want to join with me, and I want to join with you, and we want to go to a peaceful place, there is no way that both of us could want peace together and not achieve it. It's impossible. There's no way you can want peace with another person and both of y'all want it and you not be able to have it. It's no way. Because you're going to overlook everything that makes you feel separate from each other. And you're going to stop focusing on everything that allows you to join. But the people who don't want to, and you can go to counseling for the next 30 years and y'all still be talking about the same stuff. Mm-hmm. Telling you. Mm-hmm. All right. So
you can just cut through all of it. Just go right there.
Yeah. Do you want to join or do you want to separate? Hmm. I've had a miraculous healing in communication with the last person that I was in a relationship with, special relationship. And the most amazing thing about it is that as soon as we wanted to have peace, we did. And we came back to the table saying, what did you learn? What did you learn? This is what I learned. What did you learn? This is what I learned. What did you learn? Why we were separate.
Sure.
Well, the first thing we learned is that we don't need to be in a special relationship. Okay. But there sure are some cool things about our relationship that we don't want to lose. So let's enjoy the parts of our relationship that we love and just simply don't do the things that create fear. And then we just end up having the greatest time hanging out. That's the course in action. Uh-huh. That's not theoretical. It's not la 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 la. It was just two people who saw each other's value, also saw what areas that created fear, decided not to join in the ways that create fear, and decided to join in the ways that bring peace, and then communicate constantly so that if any old triggers or patterns start to come up, then we can head them off at the pass before they even happen.
So a lot of forgiveness happens, huh?
Yeah, I would say so. A lot. But the only reason why it happened was because we both really wanted to appreciate the good efforts and overlook the mistakes, where most people do just the opposite. They totally focus on all the errors that they think the other person did and forget every Christmas card Every time they sat by the bed when they had diarrhea, every time that they did something to help them, you know, it's ridiculous. You have these relationships with people, and y'all do so many wonderful things, and we do so many wonderful things for each other. Then as soon as the separation happens, it's like that person becomes the error you're mad at them about. And that becomes their whole reality. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's just not right. That's just not right. That's not true.
It's not true.
That's not true. It's literally, that's not Pollyanna. That's not true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That wasn't the only thing you experienced with that person. And then you have to ask yourself, why do you only want to focus on everything they did that you're upset about? Well, just make myself seem better than them. Exactly. And then it says, and what does that do? Well, that's going to obscure your equality with her still further. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So that's what the course means when it says, I'm going to destroy my perception of you, and I'm going to destroy my perception of myself. I'm going to say, you know something? I've never made a mistake. I've never deceived. I've always been 100% honest all the time. I've always given the best in every situation. I've always been loving, never been guilty, never been deceptive. Never been insecure, never attacked anybody else. So I'm gonna exclude that in myself, and I'm gonna say that's not in me, and then I'm gonna project it in everybody around me, and then I'm gonna say everybody else is that way, and that's projection. It's deep. So when that forgiveness happened, for me, it was like somebody plugged in a big old hole. Now, I, in my mind, had taken responsibility and forgave in the relationship before the healing ever happened physically. I had already made peace and decided that I wanted this person to have an incredibly happy life, in a peaceful life, in a loving life, in the right relationship, and everything. So my forgiveness had nothing to do with her and I ever communicating with each other. That wasn't necessary. So I'm not suggesting that you leave here and go get on the phone and try to call somebody. As a matter of fact, I'd advise you not to. Because if they don't respond right, then it just would have weakened your belief in what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So don't try to do anything if you can help it physically before you've made the shift mentally. Mm-hmm. Because to do something physically before you change mentally, all the thing that does is it takes that same erroneous thought and it just projects it into some other new area of your life without actually getting rid of it. You know, until I get rid of my fear, then I can deal with my fear of flying and get that solved, and then I can deal with my fear of eating too much. That I can deal with my fear of driving late at night. See, it's one fear after another I can deal with, and I can go to school and get rid of that fear. But it's not until I get rid of the fear itself that I'll no longer have the different forms of it. So what's so cool about the course is it takes you to the core and heals that rather than dealing with all the different little forms that we're getting upset about that we like to talk about, all our stories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, then what
are we going to talk about? Oh, it's a whole lot to talk about. Like, it's like, for instance, can you say back to me what I said? See, that's what my point is. We got plenty to talk about.
No, that's
not the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is that there are plenty of things for us to talk about. Because you're not the first person that said that to me. I've heard that 100 times. What would we have to do if we didn't have all of our drama and our guilt and our story? And what you'd be doing is enjoying yourself and being creative. That's what you'd be doing. So that's a great question. That's a great statement. What would you be doing? You'd be doing everything you've ever wanted to do without any fear or opposition. That's what you'd be doing. With people who feel safe and loving and trustworthy with you.
Yeah.
Till you left out of here.
That's such good news.
You'd have all your needs met.
Yeah.
That's what you'd be doing. Mm.
You'd have all your needs met, so to say.
Mm-hmm. Because you'd be sustained by the love of God and not by you trying to love yourself enough to deserve it, mm-hmm. which is the old way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to these classes so I can get to the point that I love myself enough for me to deserve it. Or you could go to the level of, I'm going to be taken care of by something that loves me no matter what I think about myself. See, those are two thoughts. Now, which one of those thoughts would you like to manifest?
I'd like to be sustained by the love of God.
Okay, then you need somebody around you that's going to constantly remind you that they want to be sustained by the love of God too. That's what we. That's how it's so powerful for us together. Because when you walk out that door, you ain't going to hear that much at first. So I mean, what's the point of us coming together if we won't tell each other the things that we don't hear out there all the time that we wish we would? But if we come in here and act like strangers to each other, that's reinforcing the separation. And the only reason why we act like we're strangers to each other would be because of something we're telling ourselves, which is the projection. Oh, I can't talk to people. Oh, I don't know them. Oh, I'm too bashful. Oh, you know, that's the projection. That's what the Course is saying. That's the projection that keeps us separate. When I come to the door, I have to remember, it's not about anything but being yourself and joining with people. And just reaching out. Okay? Okay, that's that paragraph.
So the
yeah.
The statement about destroying your perception of yourself and others is like in that process you destroy your perception. Let's see. You destroy the truth in them, which is that they're innocent and they're just like you, and you destroy.
I know the ego will try to keep you telling the truth. I understand. That's good. I'm proud of you. Go ahead.
And within yourself, you destroy or you deny that you have the same things in you that you are criticizing them for.
Exactly. In your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Course says that's the destruction of your perception, because now you're no longer perceiving from equality and love. Now you're perceiving from judgment and fear, which is a destructive or destroying of your peace perception. Not a destroying of them. It's not like I think bad about you and you're going to blow up. But when I think bad about you, it destroys my peace. It's the destruction of my perception of peace when I disown you and when I project on you.
Right.
I'm good with that. Everything, when I was thinking of my ex-husband, when you said I want them to be happy, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean you have to go to the movie with them.
No. I just want to get to the spot where I can honestly say, Bob, I want you to be so happy for the rest of your life.
And in the meantime, do as many dress rehearsals as you can.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
that's where the healing would come.
Because it's the goal. It's the goal. That's the forgiveness, the healing. Not your at first being able to emotionally back that up with sincerity.
Yeah.
It's just about are you even willing to move your head in the direction of the attitude? I hope they have peace. You don't have to feel like you really mean it.
Yeah. Well, then I can do.
Because if you had to mean it, then it wouldn't be no point right now. That's why the Course says you do not have to believe these ideas, because that makes it hard. He says, I want you to say some stuff to each other that you don't completely believe. That's all I'm asking you to do. Say something to each other. Yeah, fake it till you make it. Because what's different about this faking, though, is that what you are saying is really true, but you just don't believe it. So it don't matter. The truth of it has nothing to do with your belief, and that's what's going to save us. That's what's going to save us. I love you. It don't make any difference whether you believe I do or not. It still doesn't affect the fact that I love you. Now, your being willing to receive it might have something to do with whether or not you won't accept that it's true. You know?
Well, what you said to me once, that along the lines of what Judy is saying, is that, okay, you don't want this person to hurt you anymore, so you want them to be happy, because if they're happy, then they're not going to want to bother you and make you unhappy, and so you want them to be happy so that they don't make you unhappy anymore.
Well, the truth, I doubt very seriously if there's a really, truly happy mugger. You know what I'm saying? It's like a person, I don't know about you, but when I'm really feeling happy and whole and complete, I'm not thinking about harming anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, do you? You all get the most incredible gift you've ever gotten. You're saying, I want to murder somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you're happy. You just got what you just want. You go, and I want to kill a few people. No. You all you want to do is enjoy that moment and be in that moment and enjoy that beautiful gift you just got. Happy people are not the problem. It's the miserable ones.
Yeah.
They're the ones that's the problem, not the well-adjusted people. They're not the problem. And I'm not one of them yet. And I need help making my adjustment back to sanity. I need some people in my life that want to be sane too. But they also know they're insane too. Because then they're going to have some compassion. But the person without the compassion is always going to be the person who thinks they're different. The person who thinks your qualities have nothing to do with them. I want somebody on the same dysfunctional level I'm at.
Me.
And that's why you're in my life and we get along fine. Exactly. Because I can come to you, because I can say, you know, man, I got some fear about that, or I'm afraid about that, or maybe that's got me worried, but you know that's not who I really am. And so you give me space enough to share what I feel in the moment without forgetting who I am and without correcting me. Mm-hmm. Because you know I know.
Yeah, I know.
And you're just there to support me in releasing that until I come back into the remembrance of myself. Mm-hmm. I know you're not going to try to fix me like I don't know what the truth is, so here comes your doctor corrector. You know what some good people that you can't get anything out your mouth before they start giving you about 900 truths you need to be considering. And all you want to do is just say how you feel in the moment. But don't say that. That'll make it come true. Well, that's negative. Well, you know that's an illusion. Y'all look at it another way. You shouldn't feel that way. I really can't believe you get upset. What? If you see me, then I'm still learning, just like you. So that's the end of the inequality. Anybody you see on this earth is equal to you. And you equal to them. Because you see them. And they see you. You may not have equal experiences. You may not be able to play a saxophone like me. And I might not be able to sew some clothes like you. But we're equal as learners.
Bet you can't kiss the mailman either.
You know. Don't even have a desire to. So it's a good combination of relationship. I can't kiss the mailman. I don't want to kiss the mailman. It's a perfect relationship to that reality. That's where you want it. You know, I am the mailman.
Yeah.
I am you, and you are me. That's what we have yet to learn.
I know. That's exactly it.
And you know, it's the only reason why we think we're not one is projection. It's what we're telling ourselves as we sit in the chairs about each other that's determining our behavior right now. Some people you around and you tell yourself, I can be free, I can be uninhibited, I can talk about anything I want to, and then they get a different and they get that behavior from you. And then there are other people you go, I can't tell that person what I really feel and what I'm really about. Or I might be judged or I might be criticized or they may make fun of me. So then they get that behavior from you. But it's still your projection. It's still what you're telling yourself about them so that you can feel different from them and separate from them.
That's good.
And that's the destruction of your peace. Okay, so let's start on the next paragraph. It's a trip, ain't it? That was a paragraph. Anybody got a question before I go on? Everybody got a pretty good idea of what projection is now. Does everybody have a pretty good idea of what projection is? Anybody that doesn't have any idea what projection is? Is there anyone here that has not projected? Okay. All right. Don't try to get rid of projection. Do not try to get rid of projection. Do not try to get rid of projection. Do not try to get rid of projection. Just project something different.
Oh, that's good. Wow. So what I project on them is how they'll respond to me. Is that kind of what you
project
say?
On them is how you respond to them. So what I tell myself about you is going to determine how I respond to you.
Yeah.
It doesn't determine how you respond to me. How you respond to me is going to be determined by what you are telling yourself about me. So you're never really interacting with anybody unless you're interacting with love. Love is the only thing we can share, which is equality, which is oneness. You see, so as long as you see yourself as different from somebody, you really haven't joined with them. You're just reacting to what you're telling yourself, and they're just reacting to what they're telling themselves. And y'all are calling it a relationship. And you're really not in a relationship with each other. You're really just in a relationship with yourself. You know, you just, that relationship is just what you're telling yourself. You said what they're telling you, but even what they're telling you, you're the one that's determining how you react to it. So you're still the one that's always determining your reaction, even if it's somebody else looking like they're the one that did it first.
Can I give you a situation at work and you can sort of interpret it for me within that perspective?
If I can do it in a minute.
Okay. So I say something, and because I know the CEO of the company, and outside the company,
mm-hmm.
and in fact he introduced me into the people where I got the job in the first place,
mm-hmm.
and so I say something about this person in a team setting,
mm-hmm.
and then it comes back to me from my boss,
mm-hmm.
that the other people on my team see that somehow as not innocent, and that I shouldn't do that anymore.
Okay. Yeah, whatever they just told you was what they were telling themselves about what you did. Obviously, because in your perception, that wasn't what you were doing. Right?
Right.
Okay, so you knew that wasn't your purpose, right? You knew that wasn't your purpose. Your purpose was peace. Okay. The reason why I'm saying that is because unless you truly know what your own purpose is, you can get sucked into somebody else's perception of you and think it really is the truth. So rule number one is, if somebody come up to me and they try to tell me what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling, if I'm in touch with myself and I'm in touch with what my purpose is, then I know that what they're telling me isn't true because I know what my purpose is. So I know they're telling me their perception and not necessarily telling me the truth. That's not necessarily the truth about me just because you said it. Everybody got that? But if you have doubts about your motive, then you're susceptible to believe what they're talking about because you don't know where you're coming from. So you let somebody else tell you. But in that situation, you have no control over what your ego is getting ready to tell you to try to control, which is how to change all those people's minds somehow about what your purpose really was.
I'm not supposed to talk anymore about it.
You know. But I'm saying that inside yourself, if it bothers you at all, at some level you think that it's your responsibility to change something outside of yourself. Whatever you say anything to them at all, if I know that my purpose was right, and I know what my purpose was, then there's nothing for me to defend. There's nothing for me to defend, and I just go to my next project, my next job, the next situation that I need to go to, and I'll do the same thing again. I'll do in that situation from my heart. What I feel is the right thing for me to do in that situation. And if I know I did the right thing for me to do in that situation, even if everybody around me don't like it, I'm not going to battle them. I'm going to go. I know that wasn't my purpose. My purpose was peace. That's still going to be my purpose. And then what is the next thing I'm supposed to do now? What is the next project, boss? What is it I'm supposed to work on next? And then you go to the next project.
So my purpose is peace, so I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Right. So, and that's what I'm saying.
I just don't like the way telling me that I can't be myself.
Okay.
That's kind of how I
feel. Well, how are you not being yourself if you're being honest? See, if you did the best you could do in that moment, and you were as honest as you could be in that moment, and you were as clear in your purpose when you in that moment.
All I did was ask how the person was doing because he had an accident.
If that's what you were sincerely coming from, and that was your sincere purpose in that moment, then you were being yourself. Because you were being honest in the moment. See, being yourself has nothing to do with your behavior. It has nothing to do with, did I get a chance? To be myself, I need to jump off. I need to pull off all my clothes and I set my underwear and dance on top of this chair. And if I'm not able to do that, y'all not let me be myself. See, that's not being yourself. It has nothing to do with behavior. Being yourself has to do with your purpose. Mm-hmm. See, I'm being myself, even though I don't act the same in every situation, because the purpose in every situation that I go in is for me to have some peace with that person, some joy with that person, some fun with that person, and some love with that person. So it's the same person going in every situation. So I'm authentic in every situation I go in all day. Is my behavior the same? Of course it's not. Because in order to have peace in every situation, I would have to have a behavior that conformed to peace in that situation. So my behavior has to keep changing all the time in order to have peace all the time. Because my behavior has to adjust itself to the situation that I'm in. Mm-hmm. You know, if I want a cop stop me for a ticket and I want to have peace, well, I ain't going to smack the cop upside the head, because that would not be a behavior that's conducive to peace. Right? So I would put my hand up, especially if you're black, I'll put my hand up on the steering wheel, and I'm going to make sure he looks at me as being the most harmless thing in the world. I'm not gonna act like I would be with you. Just be going off or whatever. You see what I'm saying? So I can be that way with you and have peace. But I have to be like this to have peace with him. So your behavior has to conform to your goal in every situation. So the first thing is, I want peace with this policeman. The behavior that would allow me to have peace with the policeman would present itself automatically because I live in the world. And I know how you have to, you know what I'm saying? It's so deep. Again, we make it more complex than it is. We do. It's a little bitty per paragraph. I got to do it. Okay. Do you know the first stage is just hearing it? So please don't beat yourself up, because you cannot go out of here and do it. 100%. Mm-hmm. If you get a chance, write this somewhere that you can see it every day. Four words. So you got a pen you want to write, you want to jot this down. Four words. You want to put it somewhere where you can see it to make the course easier to learn. Readiness is not mastery. Readiness is not mastery. Because I am ready to do it does not mean I have mastered doing it. I'm ready to learn how to forgive. I'm ready to learn how to be more peaceful. I'm ready to learn how to be more loving. I'm ready to learn how to have great, right relationships. I ain't mastered it. Then you'll be a happy learner. Mm-hmm. The Course is one of the few things that people listen to and they think they ought to be able to do it just because they heard about it. You know, I hear about forgiveness in the Course, so I go, well, I should be able to get up. I beat myself up, see, because I think that I should have mastered it just because it told me what I'd be like when I'd mastered it. See, it's just telling you what you'll be like when you are a master. Why? Because you have to have a goal, so that the goal will create the way for you to achieve it. The goal will create the way for you to achieve it. So the goal of a master automatically creates the circumstances and situations and people that allow you to become a master. But you have to have a goal.
And a good all-around, all-purpose goal is, whatever the situation, let yourself say and do what you need to say and do in that situation to keep your peace.
As best you know.
As best you
know. As best you know. What I found that works the best in most cases, not all, but in most cases, silence. Silence has an amazing power.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at what the things you can do in silence. And it's just a bit of, really, I'm serious. It'd blow your mind. What would have happened if you just be quiet sometimes? Because the ego will say, think of something to say to change the situation. Think of something to do to change the situation. Go do something, say something, do something, say something, do something, say something, do something, say something. And then your real self says, take a breath and be quiet. It says, take a breath, be quiet, and listen. Take a breath, be quiet, and listen. Take a breath, be quiet, and listen. take a breath. You just said something that really upset me. And listen. Because right behind that person's tirade is their peace. It's right on the other side of them spilling their guts. You go say, say something, do something, say something, do something, say something, do something. Breathe. Be quiet. Listen. Well, you know, I really mean to talk like that. I'm sorry. It's just something I had to say. You've had it happen. Everything I'm saying, y'all have had it happen.
Yeah.
You've done it yourself. Mm-hmm. You go off. But when you really get through with your going off, the hand that is, I'm sorry. Oh, I need to do that differently. Well, I could have been a little bit more gentle. But maybe I could have reconsidered that. You know what I'm saying? And even if they don't get to that point, I'm not saying you're not crazy. Nobody's going to sit here and not do something to physically protect themselves if they think they have physical harm coming toward them. Most of us don't have situations like that. So we need to go to that. That's an extreme example. Most of us just have people talking stuff.
Yeah.
Most of us just dealing with people talking trash that we get upset about. Well, none of us deal with people hitting us with clubs and bats and stabbing us and shooting us. That's very rare. But the mind goes immediately to, what if somebody's going to mug me? Should I stop them? How many times you been mugged? that's a totally unreal scenario except for very limited circumstances. It's much more likely you're going to say something I don't like. And that's what it's teaching us, how to deal with those situations we really deal with all the time. Do somebody talking stupid.
Didn't I invite that Earl too?
Oh yes, but to get to that level of awareness is not necessary at first to be able to use these ideas effectively. As a matter of fact, trying to figure out how you created it can be one of the best delaying maneuvers that you can come up with to keep you from applying the truth. So, if you're one of these people that's always anxious, well, how did I create that? What did I do to create that? That's just a trick. That's just a trick to keep you from asking for peace now. You could just go, I want peace now in this situation. I'd like to have a healing. I want to recognize the healing in this situation, rather than going, how did I get in this lousy relationship? How did I get myself in this situation? And how many times in the past did I try and I didn't do it? You know, the court says, you know, those are just tricks to keep you from going, decide for me, Holy Spirit. Okay. Well, let's take a breath for about 30 seconds to kind of bring us back in for the landing. And I really just like you to breathe. Don't even necessarily even try to feel like you have to think about anything. Just think about how thankful we are this Thanksgiving weekend to have each other.
Amen.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Yes. This is your little garden. Will you water it? Will you keep investing in it? Will you give it a priority like you do other things in your life? Because my purpose is the same as your purpose, which is for you to feel fulfilled in your life right now. Whether it's an illusion or not, you want to be saved right now. And as long as we got each other, there's no way we can't succeed.
Magnificent,
Larry. See, that's why you're my friend. You know what I'm saying? Your friend gonna be saying stuff like that to you. Now, what's wrong with you?
The hell are you talking about?
What are you talking about? You know, your friend's going to be looking at you dead in your eyes saying, you magnificent. And they might look at you and say, you are magnificent. But that was the stupidest thing that you've ever done in your life was what you did last night.
As long as they say you're magnificent.
As long Father, you're magnificent. Come on with it after that. Because that way your friend can really be helpful. You know, let's really get it straight. I love you. But in my perception, you know what I'm saying, drinking 20 bottles of wine last night and driving home was not the smartest thing to do. It was an error. Nothing to feel guilty about. It was a mistake. The court says the mind will automatically want to correct the mistake. But if you try to make the mind feel guilty, then the mind will think the guilt was the atonement and not change the error. You felt bad about it, that was the answer. So it wouldn't try to correct the mistake and you do it again. Because you think feeling guilty is the answer.
Yeah.
But you see the difference? People think guilt is a solution. I did something, I feel guilty about it, I'm a good person. But you really haven't changed the behavior at all. But if someone says to you, this is a mistake, your mind has already been programmed to not to want to make mistakes. You've been programming your mind that way since the day you came here. So if you teach your mind that not treating yourself right is a mistake, your mind will start to automatically correct self-destructive behavior for you.
That was deep. Would you dare be able to repeat it again?
It came through me, not from me, so I'll see. Oh, yeah. If you train yourself, which is what you're going through the course, to believe that not loving yourself and not treating yourself right is a mistake, then your mind will automatically want to correct all self-destructive behavior because your mind doesn't like to make mistakes. It's already been programmed that way.
Okay.
It's a mistake for me not to have the abundance and prosperity that I deserve. It's a mistake. Well, my mind goes, mistake? Mistake? I don't like to make mistakes. I like to be right. You know, I'd rather be right than happy most of the time.
Yeah.
Your mind is a trip about being right. You mean it's not right for me not to be prosperous? Well, who'll be prosperous?
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? The course takes the way our mind already works and teaches us how to use it to our advantage so it won't be so much you trying to change your mind all the time. I love that. Okay.
That is so good.
Okay, I got a 3-minute review I'm going to do.
Thank you, buddy.
Did you notice how that love offering got done? You didn't even have to do a thing or say a thing. It just happened.
That's good programming, ain't it? Nobody would ever starve in the presence of people who appreciated them. But you have to give and you have to appreciate yourself. I mean, if I was just sitting up here and saying, not saying a word to y'all, but I was just sitting here and I say, give me some money. No, probably wouldn't be too keen on that. You know, you wouldn't just come to a class just to give me money.
Yes.
No, you wouldn't.
No,
you wouldn't. Thank you. Let's not be in denial now. You know, we're not on that high level of consciousness yet. The person just does nothing. I'm just going to give you. You know. We do that in some situations. It's got to be a Hurricane Katrina, too. You know what I'm saying? They do everyday thing, you know. But it's a start.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, if you give from your heart and you really love who you're giving to like I do you, and I really appreciate it, and I know I'm giving you from my heart, I know I deserve to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And it will come to me whether it comes through you or not.
Mm-hmm.
No one can stop what I deserve from getting to me.
Right.
Nobody. Fortunately, I do have people in front of me that appreciates me. So it comes. So it's an equal exchange. It's not charity. It's an equal exchange.
We appreciate you big time.
Yeah, and I appreciate you big time. Okay, so here we go. A couple of minutes, then we'll go out. Once I knew I was going to do it. I had to find it. I had to get up and make sure that I knocked it over.
Well, David's not here, so
I had to.
David's not here, so wipe it up real quick.
Any copy to mess up a cup of glass of water, we should have never thought.
It's just water.
Okay. So what do you want to project?
Love.
What do you want to project?
Joy.
Yeah, I mean, no wrong answer. What
joy.
Do you want?
Joy's good.
Okay. You want to project? right?
Oh, yeah.
And it takes some energy. I want you to just take your time. Let's do it. Close your eyes and just for a second, just be with me and feel the music, even if you don't like it. Remember, projection will always hurt you unless you're using it to project equality. Project. Sometimes your ego is really low down and it works too hard. So I want to ask you to sit back and relax a while. Take some time to laugh and smile. So with each beat, see yourself as sending an army of peace before you. Send an army of peace before you. We gotta take our time. We gotta do it right. We can do it. Take your time. Do it right. Here's the lesson. I give everything I see all the meaning that it has for me. I give everything that I see all the meaning that it has for me. I give everything that I see all the meaning that it has for me. So as you're going to project it, I give everything I see all the meaning it has for me. I'm giving every single thing I see all the meaning that it has for me. I am giving every single thing I see all the meaning that it has for me. I am giving every single thing I see all the meaning that it has. Say it with me. I am giving every single thing I see all the meaning that it has for me. Don't you feel like it? I am giving every single thing I see all the meaning that it has for me. I am giving every single thing I see all the meaning that it has for me. I am giving every single thing I see all the meaning that it has for me. I am giving every single thing I see all the meaning that it has for me. I am giving every single thing I see all the meaning that it has for me. I am giving every single thing I see all the meaning that it has. You say it for another person, go. You are giving every single thing you see all the meaning that it has for you. You are giving every single thing you see all the meaning that it has for you. Say what? You are giving every single thing you see all the meaning that it has for you. What? You are giving every single thing you see all the meaning that it has for you. So there. I'll see y'all next time. Appreciate you, Holy Spirit.